coming up.
I call the 93rd Senate session of the Associated Students to order here, March 18, 2026, convening at 5:32 p.m., convening both in the Rita Lennett Senate Chambers and via Zoom. With that being said, moving on to Agenda Item 2, compliance with Nevada Open Meeting Law. Agenda Item 2A, was the agenda posted 3 full working days by 9 a.m., not including the meeting date? It was. Agenda Item 2B, is the meeting taking place on the day of the week, month, day, year, and the time listed and location listed on the agenda? It is. Agenda Item 2C, is the Zoom link working and available to the public? It is. Moving on to Agenda Item 3, Pledge of Allegiance and Land Acknowledgement. Please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for the land acknowledgement. We acknowledge that the University of Nevada is situated on the traditional homelands of the Northern Paiute, Washoe, Western Shoshone, and Southern Paiute peoples. These lands continue to be a gathering place for indigenous peoples, and we recognize their deep connections to these places. We extend our appreciation for the opportunity to live and learn on their territory. You may now be seated. Moving on to Agenda Item 4, roll call. The Secretary and I call the roll, please.
Speaker Acklin.
Present.
Senator Atkinson.
Absence excused.
Senator Banks.
Absence excused.
Senator Barris.
Present.
Senator Benuto.
Present.
Senator Bardwaj. Senator Bolander.
Tardy excused.
Senator Burrows. Present. Senator Calderon.
Present.
Senator Castro.
Present.
Senator Dayton.
Present.
Senator DeBarger.
Present.
Senator Evans.
Present.
Senator Huang.
Absence unexcused.
Parliamentarian Issa.
Present.
Senator Johnson.
Present.
Senator Kitch.
Present.
Senator Lawson.
Absence excused.
Senator McAndrews.
Present.
Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Present.
Senator Newbo.
Absence unexcused.
Senator Potter.
Present.
Senator Radke.
Present.
Senator Saporito.
Tardy excused.
Senator Strunk.
Present.
Senator Villa.
Present.
A quorum is present.
All right, thank you. Before we move on to public comment, I just kind of want to give you guys a quick announcement real quick. I understand the drag show is going on. I understand the basketball game is going on. I understand we still have a very packed agenda. On top of presenters, all that stuff. So let me just run down real quick of kind of how I want the meeting to go and how I want it to end. Just so everyone has a thought in their mind of kind of where they want to be around 7 o'clock-ish. We have 2 presenters, and then we have cabinet reports, committee reports. I hope to be done with all of that by 7. So if people choose to want to go to the drag show or want to go to the basketball game, they have the choice to. And then after that, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pieces for second reading. I would love if everybody could stay, but I understand people want to go to the drag show, people want to go to the basketball game. So just make those decisions as you wish. And like I said, I want to be done with cabinet, committee reports, and presentations all by 7. If we can do that earlier, that'd be great. I know we have some public comment, and like I said, I know we have presenters, so just kind of keep that in mind as we're going through the meeting. Sound good? Cool. All right. Moving on to Agenda Item 5, adoption of minutes. There are no minutes to be approved of at this time. Seeing that, moving on to Agenda Item 6, public comment. I know there's some public comment. You want to come first?
Yeah.
Okay. And then just press and hold the mic until it's light green.
Okay. Hey, I'm Ty Krasinski, co-director of elections and democratic engagement with the CSC. In accordance with the SAS Chapter 702, the Elections Code, Section 18, Subsection A.5, I'm going to be reading the results of the ASUN elections for 2026 into the minutes of this Senate meeting. For the College of Education, Keon Benavente, 140 votes. Keon Benavente is the senator-elect for the College of Education. For the College of Agriculture, Biotechnology, and Natural Resources, Kavner, Kalia Evans, 28 votes. Atira Frankel, 53 votes. Marissa Espinoza, 66 votes. Marissa Espinoza is the Senator-elect for the College of Agriculture, Biotechnology, and Natural Resources. For the School of Public Health, Ralph Vila, 50 votes. Christiane Fernandez, 133 votes. Henry Owens, 150 votes. Jacob Rivers, 203 votes. Mitchell Potter, 207 votes. Anna Barris, 257 votes. Jacob Rivers, Mitchell Potter, and Anna Barris are your Senator-elects for the School of Public Health. For the School of Journalism, Josh Horvath, 123 votes. Josh Horvath is your Senator-elect for the School of Journalism. For the College of Engineering, Gael Bernal, 52 votes. Brian Price, 68 votes. Jonathan Dayton, 69 votes. Jenna Ray Navarette Pack, 108 votes. Henry Lawson, 120 votes. Jake Johnson, 120 votes. And Ivan Strunk, 130 votes. Henry Lawson, Jake Johnson, and Ivan Strunk are your Senator-elects for the College of Engineering. Okay. For the College of Liberal Arts, Vincent Giuliano, 119 votes. Chloe Rodriguez, 138 votes. Phoenix Evans, 162 votes. Michaela Williams, 182 votes. Alexander Saparito, 229 votes. Jason Issa, 250 votes. Faith Strabala, 260 votes. And Viviana Castro, 297 votes. Alexander Saparito, Jason Issa, Faith Strabala, and Viviana Castro are your Senator-elects for the College of Liberal Arts. For the School of Social Work, Kaylee Rodkey, 49 votes. Kaylee Rodkey is your Senator-elect for the School of Social Work. For the College of Science, David Danamidis, 91 votes. Andy Sanchez, 144 votes. Ken Bardwaj, 170 votes. Ivana Gavrilovic, 193 votes. Dylan Anderson, 201 votes. Edmund Kane, 201 votes. Dominic Evans, 227 votes. And Brianna Scherschel, 294 votes. Dylan Anderson, Edmund Kane, Dominic Evans, and Brianna Scherschel are your Senator-elects for the College of Science. For the College of Business, Abdullah Khan, 151 votes. Ramila Kungujanova, 158 votes. Ruby Sparks, 243 votes. Angelo Giamono Wilbur, 247 votes. Michael Newell, 267 votes. Trent Wilson, 292 votes. And Lance Zuniga, 324 votes. Angelo Giamono Wilbur, Michael Newell, Trent Wilson, and Lance Zuniga are your Senator-elects for the College of Business. For the Honors College, Ryan Rushton, 130 votes. Marie Nava, 161 votes. Sydney Horst, 181 votes, and Zion Price, 195 votes. Sydney Horst and Zion Price are your Senator-elects for the Honors College. For ASUN Vice President, Luke Calderon, 2,515 votes. Luke Calderon is your Vice President. For ASUN President, Natalie Palmer, 805 votes. Dylan Moss, 1,711. Dylan Moss is your ASUN president. Thank you for
your time. All right, thank you. Any other public comment at this time?
My name is Bea Kimball, and I've been serving the 93rd session as a Commissioner of Projects and Events. Today, I joined my role at the ASUN, March 18, 2026. I stand today as a commissioner that was exploited and used as a catalyst of discourse in an environment that requires professionalism, effective communication, and fairness to those serving the government and the students. I undertook additional work to sustain the Department of IDEA without compensation or request for benefits, and in return, I was given an excessive amount of work, lack of education for execution of my role, and no written credibility of organized events that was previously claimed as evidence of my absence. I perform duties that if unfulfilled due to a role being vacant would have jeopardized the incoming generation of student leaders, learning and executing the lessons fostered by the assistant director and their mentors, and instead I was assumed the one responsible for hindering their capabilities and voices. Secondly, I follow what I was assigned and permission by my director, who should have corrected me if I made any transgressions or educated me in proper decorum, which did not occur. Any witness by other colleagues should have been addressed to me for correction and education, but it was displayed as evidence for inappropriateness or form of misconduct. Not once have I denied officers or injuries the chance to speak to me about their discomforts, weaponized my authority for obedience, or cut a channel of communication based on emotions and biases. I would have listened and acted for the betterment of them and myself, but this was not a shared idea, and the consequences came the discomfort and excessive demands that the department struggled to satisfy. Finally, I stand as someone who was an intern in 2024 and became a commissioner the year following, continuing to acclimate to ASU and the university and guidelines. So when concerns of my performance have been questioned, if people speak on my behalf when not asked or required to, I must question who decides to speak on one's behalf without their knowledge or consent, whether it's to defend them or read the resignation out loud without their awareness. When is it appropriate to utilize others as a catalyst to criticize another's management, or with departments of directly addressing them? Is it not important to make effective and fair decisions that minimize the overall harm it does to those involved and those that cannot speak for themselves due to not being physically present, limitations of position, or word of mouth? I leave today having fulfilled my duties and goals, ensuring that the Department of Ideas successfully finished their final terms for this year and provided them with all the resources and guidance they needed, because that was my initial role at the end of the day.
Thank you. Any other public comment at this time? Please state your name and position for the record, and then if you could just press and hold the mic until it's light for you.
Hillary Prochno, Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education. And I'm here today to introduce myself. I've just stepped into this role after Dr. David Shintani retired in December. And first, congratulations to all the new senators and the incoming executive board. I am over your curriculum as undergraduate students and your intellectual and academic development and your sense of curiosity while also seeing you as whole human beings. And I just want you to know that my door is always open. I'm always happy to work with students. You are why we show up every day. And if there's any way I can be of service to you, or if you have questions, please know that I am happy to be part of your work.
Thank you. Any other public comment at this time? All right. I got a couple of public comment that was sent in, so bear with me. Good evening, senators. My name is Caitlin Rock, and I speak to offer some context as an officer who was formerly involved with the Department of IDEA as assistant director. My name also may be familiar, as it was in the judicial report a few weeks ago when giving updates about a case, Rock versus Rivarte. The details of this case can be found publicly on the H1 website, including documents that describe the charges I filed about the director where I cited malfeasance. You can also find documentation where I dropped these charges. After being contacted by relevant parties, I was, for lack of a better term, strongly encouraged to avoid the investigation. I do so in hopes that the department would be able to carry out their events that the interns were looking forward to and likely would not have come to fruition without our dedicated commissioners. Upon recent events, I'm disappointed to see where the leadership in this department has ended up. As someone who had been involved with the idea for the past 2.5 years, the department is small but mighty. There is a noticeable shift in workload where one person is missing. The position of assistant director has been empty for over 3 months. I hope that when I drop my charges, I would see that the position would be filled and IDEA would have a full department. When the now former commissioner and projects and events commissioner was nominated by the director to become AD, the majority of senators voted against the nomination, not because of the commissioner's work ethic or integrity, both of which were impressive and admirable, but because of the questionable leadership who put forward the nomination. According to Senate's deliberation and the other public comment about the AD position, it seems the workload had been unfairly and overwhelmingly distributed to the commissioners, or rather one commissioner. Furthermore, these dynamics trickle down to the interns, which are clearly affected by the poor management, as seen in recent public comment. To reiterate, while as strong as it is, IDEA is a small group and every person impacts the department immensely. This has gone as far as to affect students outside of the association as well. Under this session's directorship, I've seen numerous events being canceled or if put on, they were much then lacking. During my time as an officer, I had to push for some events to continue, Holidays such as Diwali, Black History Month, Native American Heritage Month, and Hispanic Heritage Month were all affected by the lack of quality events. I, as with many students who make up our campus, belong to underrepresented groups, so it is disheartening to lose important cultural events that celebrate us, especially in our current political climate where students might not feel safe or welcome on campus. I'm writing this comment to urge the association, its senators, officers, and leaders to hold the right people accountable where duties are unfulfilled and power is abused. It is important to recognize issues when they are occurring, address them promptly, and ensure changes are made. I appreciate the time and the efforts devoted by each of the senators here, and I hope many of you will understand why I raise the concerns and come to address this. Thank you, and sincerely, Caitlin Rock. All right. On a different note, I had some public comment that was set in that I was very, very happy to read. Hello, HUN senators. My name is Ben, and I'm a student in the Senate. I'm a student in the College of Science. I wanted to speak briefly about the impact of the College of Science lab coat drive from a student perspective. For this program, I was in a situation where I had to share a lab coat with my roommates just to be able to participate in the lab. It wasn't ideal, and there was definitely times where it made things more stressful than they needed to be. Having consistent access to required equipment isn't something you really think about until you have done it. Because of the lab coat drive, I was able to get my own lab coat, and that made a difference because it removed the uncertainty and let me focus on my coursework instead of figuring out how I was going to be able to meet basic requirements for the lab. I think this is a basic program, but it has a very big impact for students who need it, and I'm heavily in support of the drive for this future. Thank you. Senators, my name is Ryder Tapp, and I'm a pre-nursing student. I wanted to speak in support of this bill in front of you today. I personally didn't get a lab coat from the drive, but I saw people I know get one from Senator Bardwaj and Senator Evans, and it made a big difference for them. They didn't have to stress about buying one or figuring out how they were going to be able to get it before their lab. From the outside, it seemed like a small thing, but it actually helps us a lot, making sure that students can show up and do what they need to do for their classes. I think this is a good program, and I hope it continues forward. Thank you. Hello, Senators. My name is Ivan, and I'm a neuroscience major in the College of Science. I'm in full support of the bill that will be seen today by the Senate tonight. I didn't receive a lab coat from the drive, but I saw firsthand how helpful it was for other students. People I know were able to get what they needed for their lives without having to worry about buying one last minute or going without. I also want to recognize Senator Bardwaj from the College of Science for putting this together, along with Senator Evans. It's a practical solution for a subtle issue students face, and it's clear that it's already making a difference. I think continuing this program just makes sense. Sorry, guys. And I fully support this bill. Thank you. That is all the public comment I got in, so let's give a round of applause for Senator Bardwaj and Senator Evans. My apologies, along with Senator DeBarger. Apologies. I know it's public comment. If you guys want to say something kind of at the end, just kind of maybe when we talk about the bill, but let's just save that for now, just because of time. But thank you guys. I really appreciate it. It always warms my heart when I get public comment based on stuff that we're actually doing as a Senate body together. So it really means that we're doing the good work and helping students of our college. So props to you guys. That was all the public comment I was sent in. Is there any other else with public comment? Okay. None. We're going to be moving down to agenda item. Oh, my apologies. We do have someone who would like to give public comment. They have handouts. They may have a little bit of a spiel they'd like to say. If you guys want to ask questions, I would probably do that after, just because we're in public comment and we can't directly ask questions. But if you guys have any questions, I'm pretty sure you can leave like your contact information, cards, email, stuff like that. Cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Safety, guys are not able to approve. And then a letter, I'm asking students to take a look at this, provide your feedback, if this is something you're interested in, to place them on the classroom. While a lot of these are things that I experienced when I was a student, I'm kind of irrelevant. That was a long time ago. I think the university wants to hear from students today, and the things that are happening right now. So, if you guys will take a look, Nick has my contact information. I'm going to share that with everybody. Feel free to call me, text me, email me any questions, concerns. If you want to sign on to this,
thank you. Senator Bowman, too, would you mind dropping her? Would it be okay if he put your email in like our Teams chat and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty. Moving on to agenda item 19C, Parking Services. We'll hear a short presentation from Director Porton. Use this as a time too if you've not read the agenda. Please read the agenda.
Thank you. We've had a couple donations this year. The indoor practice field, as most of you know, the facility took away 176 silver 16 spaces. That was over where the old tennis courts were. I don't know if you remember those, but it was an area where we had silver 16, but now it's going to be the indoor practice facility. So it did remove a lot of spaces, but as you can tell from this artist rendering, it's going to be a great facility, and I think students would really like that. And then in silver 2, that's the area by the daycare up there. We did add 13 more ADA spaces, and I think that's really critical for events that happen on the quad. Now more people can access ADA spaces and get to the campus a little more carefully and have prime parking when it comes to attending events on campus. So this was a great renovation. It cost nearly $1 million to renovate, but I do believe it's going to be worth it over the years. PAC Transit, I don't know if any of you noticed, but we've added 2 stops and we got a new bus. This is our new bus. It's a Gillig bus. It seats 29, and it's kind of a different format that we currently have. It's more of a square format, but I'm sure most of you have seen it on campus, but it's our newest bus, and it's equipped with automatic tire chains for heavy snow days, so now we don't have to go put the chains on. They're automatic, which is nice. We added 2 stops, the Pennington Engineering Building on Evans, and then also the Tilt Business Building. We added that stop as well. More convenient shuttle access for students to increase the campus ridership. It only added 2 minutes to the current route, and we service 13 stops, and this is how they look. We operate from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Friday. We don't run during spring break, Christmas break, or summer, but these are all the stops. We have GPS tracking on all of our buses, so if you download the Downtowner app, you can see where our shuttle is in real time, which is super nice because you can be in a part of campus and say, ooh, should I walk, should I take the shuttle? And with that live GPS tracking system, you can see exactly where the bus is, so I think that's pretty helpful. Bird scooters, does anybody take the Bird scooters? No, okay. Well, Bird came to me in 2022 and said, hey, we'd like to start this pilot program on campus, and we began it in 22, and it really was very popular with students. So we continued it year to year. They provide 25 cents per ride as generated on UNR, and I take that money and I hire students through the parking office that put birds back in the nest. That's sometimes hard to do because sometimes birds are left out, but we have students on campus now that just focus on birds and putting them back in their nest. But it's a very popular program with students, and I think most students really like the bird scooters. So in the future, parking will try to, we do lot counts to make sure that our capacity is where it should be. I always present to ASUN, of course, SEC, Faculty Senate, to make sure we are doing things for future initiatives for parking and for future growth. I know most of you have heard about the potential of getting the VA hospital on campus, and that will remove quite a lot of parking on the north end, but hopefully we'll get some kind of parking structure that will replace those spaces. But anyway, that's really kind of parking in a nutshell. I know things, you always have questions about parking, and I'm always here to help answer those, but if you have any direct questions, I'd be happy to.
Thank you. Senator Calderon.
I know this is a major university question, but as far as yellow zones, like parking for floor-wise, I remember last year around the freshman, I lived in the living room community. Super inconvenient. Sometimes I come home late at night, and people who didn't have a spot would be parking the yellow zone. Would you guys ever consider underselling so that there would be spots there, or is that not something you have to consider?
I haven't considered that because I want to make sure every resident gets a space. I would hate. I know that when you come home, sometimes there aren't spaces, but I worry that if I undersell and there's availability, those students would be turned away. But what I think you're getting at is maybe longer enforcement. I do bring someone in at 4 a.m. To monitor those yellow spaces and to make sure that they're available. So we do have someone at 8 that goes to 8 p.m. and then we have officers that arrive at 4 a.m. So I think what you're getting at is more enforcement would do the trick. I don't want to limit the number of sales just because it's not about
Does anybody have any other questions? Speaker Pro Tem Four Moss.
Hi, thank you so much for coming in. I just had a quick question for you, because I've parked in West Stadium and now I park in Green. And I just had a question, how often do you assess how frequently carpool spots are used? Because when I'm in there during the day, I'm on campus too much. I consistently see carpool spots just empty. And like, especially in Green Lot and in West Stadium, empty. So I don't know how long y'all assess how often those are used. Because when I see them, I'm thinking that could be more accessible parking for students. I wanted to pick your brain.
Yeah, I can tell you they're not full. They're not even sold one to one. Why I keep them open is to encourage people to say, hey, these spaces are always empty. You want a carpool? Let's do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to a conference in May, and I'm going to look at some software that might connect people to carpool to campus. A little bit dangerous in the safety aspect, so I got to be careful. You know, like, campus and all that right off the bat. But I'm looking at some software that other campuses use, specifically UNLV, to see if we could do something like that. But I keep them available for people who might want to look at carpooling in the future. But they are not sold. You are correct.
That's all I have.
Senator Villa.
Kind of just a follow-up to that. How can you tell if someone's carpooling?
They have a carpool permit through us.
Oh.
Yes, specific permit. So you and someone else would come into our office and say you were carpooling, and you would get the carpool permit, and your carpool partner would get the free Friday permit, so that person could park on campus Fridays for free, which is great. Now, what we do with them after that, you know, I suspect you'll carpool and do the right thing, but coming in and signing up as a carpool group is really how we enforce it. And then you have that carpool group. So you should try it.
Any other questions?
I have like a quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
Does UNR own the parking lot to the side of here, Reno Apartments?
Oh, yes, Silver 12. Yes, that is our parking lot.
Is the rule still like Friday after 5 till Sunday midnight, you can like park there if there's open spots overnight?
Yes and no. So
okay.
Here's the deal. It's a Silver 12 lot, which my faculty and staff have permits for. After 5 o'clock on Friday, we do not enforce it for permits.
Okay.
However, we still enforce the overnight
okay.
policy. There's a bunch of years we're here, there's the dean, there's the uncommon, and I just don't have enough parking on campus to provide overnight. The dean has no parking. I want to, you know, and I wish I could do that, but I have to save my on-campus overnight parking for the residents who live here. So, yes, on the weekends you can park free, but we still sporadically check the overnight, so you still could get the overnight ticket.
Okay. You want to let me know when the tow truck comes?
Yes. But you get a
thank you. Thank you.
So be careful.
Any other questions? Senator Dayton?
I have two questions.
Go ahead.
The first one is, do you
try to work in your phone? Sure, yes, of course. So we have a database that will tell me how many places you've gotten. After three, have double. So you're not going to say, hey, we've got the tickets. Then we can do courtesy warning, and then we actually accept them in your car. So yes, where they can't work a certain number of hours. So I don't think that
Senator Castro. Any other questions?
No.
Senator Calderon.
Is there a way, or does this like, if you just employ on this, is there a way to get your like warning to reset? Or does that reset after the year? Because I'm not going to lie. I've gotten like 6 tickets this year. Like, at the end of the year, it's been like, I come back out, like my parking expired like 20 minutes ago, and I come out and I have to pick up my car. Obviously, that's pressure to the student, but I'm just saying, like, is there a way where maybe we could give them one reset for the next year at least, just in case?
I have thought of the reset option, but what's hard is when my officers come to the year, it just says expired. It doesn't say how long.
And yet, and
so it could be an hour or 1 minute, and yeah. Just, you know, and I have a lot of them out there, so they're pretty good at their job.
And I wasn't trying to be funny or like make any jokes.
No,
that. I'm just saying, like, I know I'm paid. And then I come back out and it's like, damn, like, it was 20 minutes past. And
20 minutes, I don't know. But if you were 2 minutes past and you appealed your ticket and I read that, I'm pretty good about saying that. But 20 minutes, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's no, validate.
You have permits. You have permits.
I don't have any permit, which is like, which
see?
Is like,
what? 2, 3.
Did you guys consider like an hourly permit, or not like an hourly permit, but like, hey, like, say you need to park in this zone from 7 to noon. Like, do you guys consider like a half day permit that you could have for certain zones? Because I don't need a permit for all day.
Okay.
I need it for
what we have at the top of the West Stadium, $7 all day. That's pretty reasonable because a meter is $2 an hour.
Yeah.
So even if you really use half day, you went to the top of the West Stadium, $7, because you're always late, right? Like, oh, I got stopped or my professor wants to talk to me. So I think parking all day on the top of the West Stadium for $7 is probably the best bet. Meters really are for short-term use. Like, a visitor's coming to campus, you can have to drop on quickly. To go to class in a meter is tough. Now, we have the pay by phone. It's hard to manage for half-day use. Like, I know who's parking where when. We do lunch counts every semester, so I know how full my campus is and what zones. Half-day would be difficult, so I wouldn't know who's parking where, what half of the day. But that's why I think this could be an
option. Okay, then final question.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But do you think there'd be a way, like, we could collaborate as ASU and other parking services anyway? Like, even if we were doing, like, Senate, say, for example, pay by phone. I just paid $5 for parking. We don't know if our meeting is going to end at 7:30
right.
Or 8. Our meeting could go until 10.
Right,
so
that's why you should have a permit, because it's good all day, every day.
But I don't need it every day. I need it Wednesdays at 5:30. So you understand, like, can we collaborate in order to create some sort of Senate permit and then pay the day $7?
I've asked about it, but someone asked me about a mascot permit. But I don't know.
There would be a way to collaborate on it?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there's
I don't.
Options. I don't know if you all know this, but this year we brought the design, the permit design contest back, and 2 students were selected. They are the coolest designs. I can't wait for you to see them. Student permit this year has anime on it. It's a wolf anime. It's super cool. So they're going to see it this year. what I love is collaborating with students to say, hey, what would you want to see on the permit? They design it, and they get a free permit, and they get their initials on the back of the permit. So it's pretty cool. But yes, I mean, we can talk.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
Any other questions at this time? Sorry, Senator Radke. Any other questions? Sorry, Villa.
So hypothetically,
hypothetically,
if like a student were to like owe parking services like a ticket for like $60, and like it like went to the mail, but like it wasn't paid, but like it's not like connected to their account, like what would happen to that? Like, does it go to the DMV?
Eventually hold your transcript or hold your diploma. I don't do that very often. I mean, we do with very large amounts, but a $60 is not going to hold it. And that for you. And no, it doesn't go to DMV, but it's nice just to pay that off and have things like we need to do with
our. Lovely. Speaking from personal experience, Senator Villa, I'd probably pay that ticket. any other senators with questions besides Senator Strunk? All right, Senator Strunk, go ahead.
What is considered a large account? Like, how much money would you
have? Wow. Okay, I've been on campus 30 years. The largest account I have seen is probably 1,400.
What?
That was only part of the ADA. So it was a big account, but I worked with students, they paid half down, and they paid a little down the road. We do payment agreements all the time. I get it. I was a student here. So I realized that coming up with $1,400 is rough. So we work with students.
Lovely. Senator Bardwaj.
Senator Bardwaj. Dabbling a little more on the permits, but more about like the financial stuff. What, like, do you have a formula that kind of like dictates what the zone is going to be priced? Like how much? Like I get like, you know, the community space for residents for yellow zone, and like
right.
A higher price, like this incentivizes some people for like closer to that spot. But like what fees do the permit fees support? Like why is it so high?
Well, zone parking is based on proximity. So the closer you are to buildings, the more expensive the permit is. And I can tell you, we sell more silver permits than anything. And if mom and dad are paying, great, get the silver. If you're a bad student, you have no money, get the blue, and anywhere in between. So, and all of those fees come back. Like I said, they go, I just built that garage the other way. Does anybody park the gateway?
Well,
yay. That was $35 million. So they're expensive garages. So that's what. Now, yellow is a bit different because you can't park overnight because it's the dorm. And so you pay a higher premium, but you can't park overnight. You have a spot 24/7. Well, I hope you do. Sometimes you come home and I know it's full. The top of the Wayland is also yellow. I don't think a lot of dorm students know that, but the top of the Wayland is also a yellow sign. So.
Any other senators with questions besides Senator Kitch? Any other senators? Okay.
This
Senator
is a hot topic. I should come back every week.
hi, I'm from Manchester. I'm going to be honest college, and we do a
it's a purchasing violation. But if your guest gets a ticket, call me, call my office, talk about it. We'll see what we can do as a first time visitor or warning and go on from there. But we do have on our website, unr.edu/parking, you can set up an event for your guests. And we do signage, just says like, Honors College, shoot them this way. And then they park, we count cars and charge a permit for parking. But if anyone gets, you know, any visitors that you invite to Senate or your college and they get tickets, please contact my office. We give more warnings than we do tickets.
Lovely. All right. I wanted to say this for the last question. Apologies if you had already kind of mentioned it in your presentation. Are you guys kind of doing anything as of right now to maybe like expand parking or maybe plans or something? You guys are like, oh, we want to do this in a couple years, but we're saving because of debt, or we just don't have the funds right now. Like, do you guys kind of have anything on the books or kind of anything planned within the?
So every September, I do a complete lot utilization survey of the whole campus. We've got 1,700 vacancies. So at this point, I do not. But I always look at that, and when we get to the 400 or 500 range, then I'm like, oh, we need another garage, and that's how Gateway came up upon us. So that was when we decided we needed one. If the VA hospital comes to fruition and they go up north, we are going to have to think about those displaced spaces going into some other garage. Yes, I don't know where that will be. That's probably something for administration to let me know where. We think we need the new garage, but we're always what's hard about UNR is it's pretty linear, and there's not a lot of empty spaces to put more garages or more service lots. So we are looking at alternate areas. There may be a section over by Valley Road, or there may be some other areas, but I know students want to be on campus, and I don't blame. So yes, moving forward, we will certainly always look at.
All right, thank you. And I just want to say, too, the whole point of when we have presenters come in is to have these types of conversations. So I hope Senator Calderon actually reaches out, maybe does some outreach, and maybe tries to reach a solution. Maybe nothing comes from it, but at least there's a conversation that's had. And that's, like I said, that's the whole point of these presentations. It makes it so that you guys are maybe the director or whoever comes in says something, you're like, oh, I want to write a resolution on that. That's something I want to change. That's something I want to advocate for. That's the whole point of why I wanted to kind of bridge that gap between the faculty and student body.
Well, and that's how the permit design comes came. Someone said, I want the permits this year. And someone said, why don't the students design it? And I was like, let's do it. So I do think we have some great ideas. And you're the leadership of this campus, and I've always wanted to listen. So.
Yeah. If you ever need any help, maybe marketing stuff, or want to get the word out to students about some new program you guys are doing, or.
So we have Motors Assist on campus. Do you know what that is? Like, it's a AAA. But it's free. And no students ever call us and say, hey, I have a flat tire, I need a battery jump, I left my keys in my car. But if I could get that word out, it's on our website, I put little flyers in your permits, but you guys just but I do want to get that out because it's free.
What's that program called?
Motor Assist.
I gotta write that down.
Right.
We have a little, I talk to the kids, it's supposed to come save the day, but we rarely get calls for help, so.
All right, well, cough, cough. If any incoming senators for the 94th or 93rd want to write a resolution in support of this or advocacy for that, there's your piece. But other than that, thank you so much. Senator Kitch, would you mind bringing us back to the Zoom? Alrighty. Thank you so much for coming. Alrighty. Moving back down to agenda item 8, reports of H1 officer attending Agobot.
She'll be coming down
today. Okay, go ahead. Vice President McNamara will read the report as follows.
How's it going, everybody? Parking services was a fun one for sure. Not too much for me. I tabled that Nevada Bound last Friday, and as always, feel free to sign up. There's one this Friday, too. Pretty much every Friday for the rest of the semester, hold spring break. And if that message is lost in your inbox, feel free to Teams me, email me, text me, or just talk to me after this. Finishing up some concert stuff at the J Resort, so dialing in some marketing and openers and all that fun stuff. And then earlier today, I presented to the deans of every college. I just kind of talked about what ASUN is, who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Did that with VP-elect Calderon, President-elect Moss, and Carmina. Really cool. Lots of fun stuff there and lots of cool initiatives that I could see coming from that avenue. And then the other big thing, Student Media Advisory Board this Friday. Selections are coming up soon. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to reach out.
Any questions at this time? Already thank you, Vice President McNamara. Moving down to Chief Justice Rena Arnn's Citizens Center report, it reads as follows. Hello, Senators. I hope you're all doing well tonight. First, I want to say a huge congratulations to our incumbent senators who will be returning for another term. Congrats, guys. As for Judicial Council updates, I would like to formally report that there have been no last election charges filed as of this time. Additionally, we want to provide a quick reminder regarding our filing procedures. Per the SAS, election violation cases are considered filed in good faith if the violation is originally filed before 4 p.m. on the Tuesday following the close of the polls. Please be advised that as of this point, election violation cases will no longer be considered filed in good faith and will be dismissed. Thank you, and please feel free to email me with any questions. Moving down our list, Chief of Staff Dietrich. I know you know a lot.
I have four reports to read, so I'll be here for a minute. So, Director Tyson, for the record, I'm going to be reading Chief of Staff Dietrich's report. Hello, Senators. I've mainly been working with Director Texan to plan end of year banquet. Please make sure to get the RSVP form filled out by Friday. She'll give more information on that. I'm working on the ASUN Menstrual Hygiene Fund. Senator Barris and Castro have helped me a whole lot by drafting legislation. It is on its way to the Senate table sometime very soon. Full transparency. I know it's your guys' favorite word. The student resource centers I had originally wanted to institutionalize this are not being as open to the prospect as I originally hoped, though I will keep you updated. Also on the topic of legislation, I'm working with Speaker Pro Tempore Moss to make necessary revisions to the SAS language for the internship to solidify some of the most successful initiatives I created during my 2-year tenure as Chief of Staff. Please reach out if you have any questions. Okay, moving on to my report. Director Jackson, for the record, for banquet, it's going to be a Lawler Event Center ballroom, so I'm pretty sure that's the first floor. I'm going to get more information. I'll also have a sign up so when you guys come attend, should be good. That's April 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. RSVP form is due Friday. I currently have 82 responses. We usually have 120, so I would hope to get some more responses. Food is being confirmed and will be adjusted if needed for any dietary restrictions. It's through Lawler's catering partner, Sodexo. Make sure organized Senate awards and certificates or presents for senators who you are awarding, committee of the year, intern of the year, legislation of the year, etc. I will send out the allocated time for each branch and department as is given, and we'll figure out the schedule. This event is formal attire, but there is no color scheme. Wear whatever color or outfit that you feel best in, but dress a little bit nicer. And then for casual talks, we are talking about putting that together. We're figuring out a potential date for that with admin, and then if you're interested in helping, let me know. And then we're looking at probably April 10th, which is a Friday, based off Dr. Speed's availability, but we're looking at President Sandoval's as well. And then going back on to banquet, I have the list of senators that have filled it out, so shout out, I'm gonna read you guys off. Issa, Kitch, Vila, Benuto, Calderon, Atkinson, Newbell, Lawson, Evans, Potter, Moss, Bolander, McAndrews, Barris, DeBarger, Bardwaj, Dayton, Speaker Affleck, and former Senator Custer. So we're gonna have a good group show up. If you didn't hear your name, you haven't RSVP'd yet, please fill it out. It'd make my life easy so I don't have to hunt you down. And then also please let your interns know because none of them have RSVP'd yet. So please. And then I have Director of Sustainability Sephora Lee's report. Hey everyone, for my report, it's rather short as we had our SSW week last week. Thank you to Director Sousa and everyone who helped us make it a great week. We've been coordinating with Upper ASUN staff to apply to a grant opportunity from the City of Reno, and we'll get further details when that plan is finalized. For now, we'll be working on our Earth Week events in April, and we'll be coordinating a Greek life cleanup on University Terrace when we get back from break. So if you have any questions, please let me know. And then I have Director Vaidya Navarte's report. Hello, Senators and everyone. I hope this message finds you well. The Black Cultural Fest was a festival was a success, and I want to recognize Officer Taviano and his intern Ruby Sparks for successfully coordinating this event. We also have our Women's History Month tabling event today from 10 a.m. to noon in the Casey Breezeway, coordinated by Officer Mona Lenny and her intern, Brooklyn Minetti. Thank you, everyone who has come by and supported. Additionally, we are currently sponsoring UNR Hawaiian Club for their event, the Biggest Little Pena Festival, on April 4th from 4 to 6 p.m. in the GCSU Ballroom. We're also sponsoring Queer Student Union for their Queer Prom, which will be held at the Discovery Museum on May 1st at 6 p.m. Furthermore, we'll be allocating budget to support the Department's sustainability for their continued efforts with farmers, markets, and related activities. I would also like to share that I will be resigning from my position as Director of IDEA, with my final day being March 30th. I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve in this role and for the support from the body throughout my time. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? All right. Thank you. Moving back up, President Hogglebot.
Hi, guys. Sorry about that. I'm kind of doing what Pro Tem Moss is doing, going up and down. Just really quickly, so Director Nask has just wanted to share that for her report, she went to the Committee on Government Operations, and she's glad that her piece of legislation will be moving up to the Senate table soon. And it's just really opening up club funding to clubs and organizations for next session. So that's really exciting. I worked with her on it, and then a shout out to Senator Linder. Is he here today?
He's just stepped out.
Okay, well, shout out to him for sponsoring that piece as well. And so here's my report. So hi, senators. I hope you are all doing well. First, I want to congratulate Senator Moss upstairs, just like I was, and Senator Calderon on their election as AC President and Vice President. We're excited to begin working on the transition to see all the good you both will do in these roles. Since the last time I saw you all, we have been very busy with a number of important initiatives. Things don't slow down during the spring semester, and so we're still trying to keep up with everything. Alongside Director Hatch, we attended the quarterly Board of Regents meetings at the CSUN Charleston campus. We gave public comment on the possibility of opening a College of Veterinary Medicine. Shout out to Senator McAndrews and other Cavalier students who also spoke out in support of this effort. In addition, we voiced our support for the university's legislative priorities as presented at the meeting, while also encouraging greater focus on food security and financial security for students. This morning, I attended a meeting regarding the future of Nevada tailgates, particularly surrounding Nevada football. We are working to create a student-centered committee that includes students, university police, university administration, and the athletic department. The goal of this committee will be to review policy, upgrade the tailgating schedule for the season, identify ways to engage more students, and elevate the experience while still keeping it safe. We also hope this committee will host school spirit summits with campus student leaders during both the fall and spring semesters, so this to guarantee that student voices are heard every single step of the process. And then on Monday, I met with President Sandoval. We discussed topics including the student conduct process surrounding hate speech on campus. We will be working with legal counsel to help develop a training focused on First Amendment rights and how to address hate speech on campus effectively and swiftly, especially as student leaders. Our university remains steadfast in opposing hate speech, and we want our student leaders to feel equipped to respond thoughtfully and effectively through these trainings. We also discussed campus traditions and spirit initiatives. Additionally, on Monday, I had the first meeting as part of the Associate Vice President search for leadership and engagement. And then the J Resort has officially released the headliner for the AE-Student Collaboration Concert. Based on survey feedback collected during the 92nd session, there was strong student interest in EDM music. So from that, the artist selected was King Sullivan, who is a well-known dubstep and EDM scene, who is well-known in the dubstep and EDM scene, as his style is very similar to Subtronix. And then tickets are $27, which is on par and slightly cheaper than the pricing that we usually do for AE-Student concerts. There's going to be a special student section, so it's really going to feel like a student concert. And then so there's AACU specific marketing should be released in the next few days once we finalize the student openers. Please know that we intentionally held off of releasing AACU specific marketing because we want to highlight our student openers just as much as the headliner. So that's kind of why we're on pause for now, but that should be solidified, I think, around Friday. So that's why we'll come out with the marketing specifically for that. The J Resort has already posted it, and then the tickets are already live and broadcasting for their page. And at this time, you're looking at featuring a few local DJs and some student bands, and so that's pretty exciting and that's pretty fun. And then Vice President McNamara and I also had the great honor of attending the Mountain West men's basketball tournament. It was wonderful to watch our Nevada team dominate. The Air Force, I think, it was like a 40-point split or something like that. I think VP McNamara was honestly bored watching it. But you know what? That's the kind of game I like to see, 40-point split. And then, of course, there was a really incredible win against GCU, so that was great to be able to watch live. And so thank you to the athletic department for the opportunity. But we will know, we weren't just in Vegas dilly-dallying. We were taking notes on how to improve school spirit. And we were able to take lots of great ideas in the GCU student section, the Utah State student section. And so we're having a meeting soon with Jeff Shoji and Bill McGillis on kind of what kind of ideas we could go bring. And then that's kind of where you guys come in hand too. It's like, please make sure that we go to those games, and then please make sure that we're also encouraging students to have school spirit every single way that we possibly can. So that was a pretty cool experience. And we also continue to work on legislation alongside Director Hess with that Clubs and Orgs piece and Senator Issa, and we're hopeful that these measures can be pushed through before the end of the session. Lastly, we want to share that, yes, as we heard, Director Navarrete has submitted her resignation letter. She shared that she will be pursuing a new opportunity elsewhere, and her last day will be March 30th. She'll be working to ensure that her team is set up well for the final 2 weeks of the session, and we'll also be pretty hands-on just assisting them wherever they need. And we've been, we'll be going to that Department of ADM meeting this week. And then thank you all. Please let me know if you have any questions. Although I am going to be trying to go drag show just a second.
Any questions at this time?
Thank you. I'm off. I will see everyone in a bit.
Alrighty. Moving down to the Director of Programming, Director Krentz.
She's at the drag show. My updates are her updates. Thank you.
Lovely. Moving down to the Director of Government Affairs, Director Hatch.
Hello everyone, here's an update on the department's activities. As President Agaba mentioned, we attended the NG Board of Regents meeting a couple weeks ago. We have updates regarding the university and systems and legislative priorities. So here are the basics. You can look back on last week's department meeting, Government Affairs Department meeting minutes if you're interested in more specifics. So first was academic slash student support. This is scholarships like the Promise Scholarship or the Millennium Scholarship, and then mandatory fee waivers like foster care connected students and indigenous students. Next is expanding programs like nursing, as well as the new veterinary school and social work expansions. And then we have athletics and infrastructure with increased student athlete scholarships. Lombardi Pool hopefully is gonna get redone. And then HVAC systems, roofs, and critical repairs and maintenance. Shout out to Senator Andrews and Senator Dayton, who both provided public comment on the new veterinary school. We really appreciate it. If we can get more Senate buy-in at the next meeting, that would be super cool. That's going to be in June, and it's actually going to be here at UNR up in the Joe Ballrooms. Next, we're making progress on the civic engagement survey, so more updates to come from myself and Amy Kokas very soon. We've been working with our survey team to add slash or edit questions, increase accessibility, and maximize data applicability. We're adding questions on campus security, so it's great to hear that it's supported by outside experts as well. We're also finishing our first draft of the GovAffairs lobbying guide, which will help future GovAffairs officers in lobbying efforts before, during, and after lobbying opportunities like the Board of Regents or the legislative session. We are going to have an intern event to close off the session called Don't Chicken Out. It intends to educate and empower students to provide public comment. It's going to be held April 13th from 12 to 3 p.m. in the KC Breezeway, so please show up. There will be McDonald's as long as the budget passes on Friday. Per the SAS, please remember to tell me whenever you contact, speak to, or generally communicate with public officials in your capacity as an ASU officer. But other than that, thank you, and let me know if you have any questions.
Does anyone have any questions? All right, thank you. I'm moving down our list to the Director of Campus and Public Relations, Director Mendoza.
Getting Jade Lifton on everything in the association, including getting her more connected with Inkblot. And then last week, I posted the SSW marketing, as well as reposted those posts on the story, as well as boomerangs. President Agaba and I met with Eric and Gabby at Inkblot to work on the end of your video. We hope to have one for the banquet, as well as a separate one for the student body. Hopefully, we can get clips from Marcom, including like sports events for the student body one. I've also been trying to repost Senator achievements on the Instagram. So last week I reposted two, including the Bill Against Hate speech. President Agaba, Director Krentz, and I have been working on how to push up the concert announcement in an appropriate and engaging way. That should be out soon, I pray. We had text go out for the drag show tonight, and then we will be accepting collaborations with Nevada Cares, hopefully this week. And then, yeah, this will highlight the Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April.
All right, lovely. Any questions? All right, thank you. Going down to the camp, Director of Campus Wellness, Director Sousa.
Hi,
everybody. Last week was SSW week and it went very well. We had a much bigger turnout than we expected and received a ton of positive feedback from all of the events that we had, so that's great. Next week, the Department of Sustainability and my department are meeting with Maddie Wilson to reflect on the week and see what we can do better for next year's SSW week. Thank you to everybody who helped with that and showed up to our events. Outside of SSW week, I've been speaking with Nevada Cares about their block party. After a lot of communication, we've decided to help them by paying for the food vendor that they have coming, as well as helping them get in contact with the DJ for that block party, which is taking place on April 30th. We've also been speaking with Nevada Cares about their partnership with the Tahoe Night Monsters to see if we can buy some tickets for students to go to the game that's happening on April 4th at 7 p.m. Lex and I came up with the idea of doing some kind of drawing to give away some of those tickets, which we're still working on the logistics of. And then working with Director Mendoza to get some of that marketing hopefully finished up. Overall, I don't have much to report on. Things have been pretty slow for the department with SSW coming to an end. But if anybody wants or needs anything from me, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you, and I hope that all of you have a very restful spring break.
All right, thank you. Did Director Evans send in a report? Okay. All right, moving down to myself. I'll try to keep this pretty brief since after this we only have committee reports. Timeline for the rest of today's meeting. I went over that at the beginning of the meeting. Important announcement, we do not have Senate next week because it will be spring break. I have a life, you guys have a life. I would prefer that we all enjoy our spring break and have a good time. So no Senate meeting next week. You're welcome. And then we come back on the 1st. As of right now, I think I have around 7 pieces for second reading. 2 or 3, I believe, are being fast-tracked. We have no presenters. I don't believe we would have cabinet reports just because it'll be spring break. So I believe the last time we'll have cabinet reports is on the 8th, our last meeting. So next week we'll have a couple pieces of legislation for second reading, committee reports. That's pretty much it. Legislation check. I know some of you have some pieces you guys want to send to me. I already got Kitch's, and then I got McAndrews. Am I missing anybody else? Raise of hands if anyone's sending in any pieces to me within the next 24 hours. One. Oh, I know yours. That's right. Anybody else? Okay. Real quick, let me say the pieces that I need to get sent in to me. SB 93, an act to establish non-binding voter engagement and demographics, survey of H1 journal election ballots. Yours, right? Okay. A bill to create a special defunding tier in the club support funding policy. Who is the author of that piece? Sir McAndrews?
No, I'm not. But that was the one that we saw in GovOps today, I think.
Okay. You're second from wrong. Senator Bolander is the author, correct? Okay. Co-author, sponsor, whoever it may be, can you guys please send that piece to me within the next day? A bill to allocate $3,000 of current unused funds placed for vacant seats within the Senate into the Senate outreach budget for FY 2026. Senator Saporito, that's your piece, correct? And then lastly, a resolution in support of affirming the value of non-professional degrees. Is that yours? Okay, perfect. So as of right now, I only have 4 pieces that need to be sent to me. Like I said, if you guys have anything that wants to be fast-tracked, I agendize Thursday at 5:30, so please get that to me in time. I can ask it in committee reports. As Senator Boland, are you guys completing your SAS audit on the 1st? Okay. Has your committee pretty much compiled all the information they kind of need to write the bill or at least have a good rough draft?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Other than that, nothing else with legislation. There is a piece that's being brought to Budget and Finance, my PR piece, that kind of reforms the campus and public relations and adding 2 new positions. So that'll be seen in committee in Budget and Finance on the 31st, and it'll be seen for second reading on the 8th. An update on the Sullivan bench for UPDNC, me and Senator Saporito have been working on this. I believe we have a budget and a timeline where, as you guys know, they are doing construction on Manzanita Lake. So they wouldn't be able to start until November. I already talked with Luis about this, but just kind of let you guys know for the outgoing senators, incoming senators for the 94th. that is something that I think HUN, the 94th, should take precedent on, just because it was kind of an agreement we had already made for the 93rd. We weren't able to go fully through with it just because of construction and everything going on with that. So I know Senator Saperito is going to be here next session, but I really hope that that idea does not die with this session. I really think it would be a really cool idea if the 93rd, 94th, whatever it may be, is able to continue to sponsor stuff on campus, making it so that we show appreciation for our UPDNC officers. So just want to put that into the record. The composite is done. I was able to get everyone's headshots. It looked great. It looks perfect. I'm very proud. I'm very happy with it. I'm just waiting to hear back from Joe's staff in regard to width, length, you know, what it's actually going to look like, where it can be placed, if it can be placed at all on the Joe, stuff like that. So just waiting to get confirmation from that. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, to probably have it unveiled at the last meeting on the 8th. And then, like I said, making it so that senators who come in, they'll take their headshots in April or May. The CSC and AHUN, the speaker, whoever it may be, is able to help and get the composite ready, and they have all that time in summer to print it, make it, frame it, all that good stuff. And then the first meeting back is when they would swap the old composite with the new composite for the new session. So just want to give you guys an update on that. And lastly, outreach is due today. It was our last outreach period. So if you have not submitted outreach, please do that. It is our last period. The Committee of Oversight is meeting tomorrow at 6:30. I will not be there. Speaker Pro Tempore Mas is going to be chairing that meeting. But like I said, it's your guys' last outreach period. So please submit it. Please do your 4 hours. Please do your job. And then after that, too, when we get back on the first, you guys just have 2 weeks. And I'm going to say it again just to make sure in case anybody hasn't heard me. During that 2 weeks, I'm not going to make it so oversight meets or you guys have to submit anything. Still do your job, still do outreach, still meet with your constituents, and still do the things you guys were all elected or appointed to do. Any questions in regard to my outreach, or my outreach, my speaker report or my oversight report? Okay. Moving down to agenda item 9A, Committee on Academics and Student Affairs, Senator Kitch. Questions at this time. Moving down to the Committee on Budget and Finance, Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to combine my Speaker and Budget and Finance reports, or Speaker Pro Tempore and Budget and Finance reports, just because I'm jumping back and forth between the drag show and here. Budget and Finance met yesterday. We reviewed Judicial Council and Clubs and Orgs and considered a piece of legislation written by Senator Saperito. Amendments were made, and that piece was favorably recommended to the table. So we'll see that at the meeting after this coming spring break. For next Budget and Finance meeting, after meeting with clubs and organizations today for a transition meeting, it's also clear that they will need, in this session, a piece of business put on the agenda, and it is needed immediately. So we're going to try to do a meeting next week, and that's going to be the only thing on the agenda, so don't send me things to put on this agenda for this spring break. This is just for this Clubs and Orgs piece for the iServe conference. I will be looking at a date. For my Budget and Finance members, I will be in person in the Frankie Sue. You just have to attend on Zoom if that's how I can get you to be at the meeting during spring break. It's gonna be so quick. We're gonna discuss this one thing that needs approval per the SAS, and then move forward. So I'm currently looking at days, probably going to be later in the week, next week. So yeah, with Speaker Pro Tempore stuff, not really much to report, just continuing to meet with the interns, get them ready for applying for jobs and stuff, and transitioning them into being senators for those who are elected as senators. We're going to hopefully have DEA Dietrich, or Chief of Staff Dietrich, at our meeting on Friday to give them a little workshop on how to apply for jobs within the association. So that's where the internship is. Thank you. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Does anyone have any questions? All right, I don't have a question, I have a comment that was told to be passed from Director Texan. None of the interns have filled out the RSVP for banquet.
We shall remind them.
Okay, thank you, appreciate it. All right, moving down our list to the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement, Parliamentarian ESA.
Parliamentary ESA, for the record. Still recovering from my illness. Parliamentarian ESA, for the record. The committee last met yesterday, March 17th, where we approved minutes and her report from Director Hatch. Additionally, the committee favorably recommended SR93, a resolution in support of affirming the value of non-professional degrees, as well as SB93, an act to establish a non-binding voter engagement and demographic survey on the ASU and general election ballot. Both of those pieces will be seen at our Senate meeting after spring break. Additionally, the committee engaged in a productive discussion on how ASUN can support the Office of Government Affairs' initiative to connect students from underrepresented communities with opportunities to serve on local boards and commissions. We look forward to continuing this conversation and identifying new ways to expand access to civic engagement opportunities for all students. And lastly, the committee will have its final meeting of the session on Tuesday, March 31st. That concludes my report.
All right, thanks. Any questions at this time? All right, moving down our list to the Committee of Idea, Senator Castro.
The Committee on Idea met last Friday, March 13th at 4:30 p.m. We heard a presentation from listening to the director, and from our initial conversation, we'll share with you the greater need for multicultural involvement in campus events, like the benefit, others. This will discuss the possibility of UNRWA. Given our university's proposed dedication to being a Spanish-serving institution, the committee discussed the possibility of our Senate table continually supporting Latino student advisory board's efforts in a similar capacity to our university veterans groups. Additionally, the committee has submitted a proposal for the UNR Diversity Summit to be held Thursday, April 16th and 17th in 2026 at the Joe Pye Student Union. Please continue spreading the word about the summit and the many student awards and fiscal awards that will be handed out to students. Please keep informing your constituents of that possibility. Thank you.
Alrighty, thank you. Moving that to the Committee of Government Operations, Senator Bolander. Along with the SAS audit too, did you get my binding resolution that was to extend the special committee bill or special committee piece? Do you have that? If you want, I can resend it to you. Senator Saporito was also the author. You can just check, send me a text message. Cool. All right, moving down to the committee of SSW, Senator Barris.
Senator Schlarker, SSW will meet week after spring break on Wednesday at 4 p.m. We'll most likely be one of my pieces for first reading.
All right, thank you. Moving down to the Special Committee on Food and Security, Senator Saporito.
Hey, y'all. Next meeting for the Special Committee will be after spring break. We set a farmer's market that happened on Friday. We gave out around $2,000 worth of food to a bunch of students. A bunch of students that were happy, didn't know what Path Divisions was or ASUN. So for 2 hours, we were conversing with all these guys in the KC London DMSC Plaza. I want to give a shout out to basically like half the people at this table. Thank you guys so much for helping with the event, such as like Samir Castro, Samir Dayton, Samir Debarger. I literally couldn't have done the event without Samir Atkins, Samir Barris, so thanks for doing this supply run so fast.
Just a brief report. So I updated the legislation tracker and want to remind all senators to continue keeping it current as we approach the end of this session. I also want to point out that as of now, there are 108 pieces on the tracker. For comparison, during the 92nd session, they reported just 29 pieces. I don't know how accurate that number is, but I just want to take a moment to recognize what that reflects. That this has been an incredibly productive Senate, and that level of engagement output does not happen by accident. It speaks to the work that we have all put into this session. So let's keep that commitment going through the end of this term.
Speaker Pro Tempore, Board Master, do you have anything you want to say?
There, like I said, I combined my reports in my budget and finance report. Just something cool, because I don't know if I'll be around depending on how I flip-flop with drag show, but something cool that's happened in the College of Ed that y'all should know about is that it is official that PacTeach Psychology, I know I've talked about this at the table before, PacTeach Psychology will be rolled out starting fall 2026. So very exciting stuff. And then also, me and Speaker Ackland talked about this earlier, but in public comment today, the election results were certified. I want to thank everybody for running a fantastic election, thank our CSC staff, thank our directors of student elections. I'm very excited for the year to come. I think we're going to have a great, productive session. To the senators returning to this table, I look forward to working very closely with you. I have every intention to be a legislator president, so you won't be seeing the last of me putting bills on this table. But just to kind of just say, very excited for next year. Thank you to everyone who put in the work. Thank you for everyone who did a lot to get us past the point of getting these elections done. And excited for the 94th. This started with President Stanfill, but I'll say it, hashtag stronger with the 94th. So yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Even though I won't be here to see it, I wish you the best in your endeavors. Alrighty, that is my report. Committee of Oversight is done. It is 6:56 p.m. We're about to move on to legislation, so if you would like to leave for the drag show or the basketball game, now is the time. Does the body give permission for Luis to speak? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Speaker. I would just keep quorum.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Show of hands, is anybody, I'm guessing a lot of you are staying for the ice piece. Is anybody leaving after that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Okay. Alrighty. Moving on to agenda item 10, reports of Senate Secretary. So you guys have anything?
Thanks for sending me your reports last week. Keep it up. And yeah, that's about it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Moving past agenda item 11, 12, 13, 14. Moving on to agenda item 15, first reading of legislation. I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda items. I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda item 15A, SB 93, a bill to amend the statute of the Associated Students to codify the annual College of Science lab coat drive through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Parliamentarian Issa. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Barris. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? That being said, that piece of legislation has been approved for first reading. Moving down to agenda item 16A, SB 93, a bill to amend the statute of the Associated Students to codify the annual College of Science lab coat drive. I will read out the fast track memo as follows. Dear Speaker Ackland and esteemed members of the Senate, I am writing to express the fast tracking of SB 93, a bill to amend the statute of the Associated Students to codify the annual College of Science lab coat drive for immediate consideration. During the fall semester of the 93rd session, the College of Science senators organized a lab coat drive that collected and redistributed laboratory coats to students enrolled in laboratory courses. The initiative directly reduced out-of-pocket costs for students who were required to purchase laboratory safety equipment to participate in their coursework. The legislation before the Senate codifies the initiative and creates a statutory framework for senator initiatives, allowing successful college-specific programs to be preserved across Senate sessions. Fast-tracking the bill would allow the Senate to consider the measure within the current legislative calendar and ensure the program can be implemented with sufficient planning for future semesters. This legislation is narrow in scope, carries no budgetary implications, but reflects a successful initiative already carried out by the Senate. Acting now allows the Senate to institutionalize the program before the close of the session, ensuring that the resources and institutional knowledge from the 93rd session are preserved and that future senators have the statutory authority and guidance needed to continue the initiative. For these reasons, my fellow College of Science senators and I believe it will be well suited for the expedited consideration. Respectfully, Senator Bardwaj. All right. With that being said, I'm seeking a motion to fast track agenda item 16A through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Barris. Is there a dissent? Any abstentions? That being said, that piece of legislation has been fast-tracked. Moving down to agenda item 18A, second reading of legislation. SR 93, resolution to announce illegal actions taken by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Would the authors or author of the piece like to give a brief synopsis? Senator Castro, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. To make discussion easier for this piece, I'll contextualize first. This piece has been the result of hearing numerous student concerns regarding safety on this campus and other campuses in the country, as well as meetings with PAC Pathways Director Janet Najera, legal counsel Wyatt Weil, and the University Police's Lady Madison Eichert. This piece has been favorably recommended by both the Committee on IDEA and the Committee on SSW. We've also talked about this piece with the Office of Community Engagement. That following, this piece is more so a reinstatement of beliefs and rights that students attending UNR are guaranteed not just as citizens, regardless of any such thing, but as students of this university, which is our dedication to their safety. The fact that multiple students have come to me saying that they feel concerned regarding the violent actions taken by ICE around the country is indicative of student opinion regarding this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Would any other authors like to speak? Already. Seeing none, moving on to questions for the author. Any questions at this time? Already seeing none, moving on to a debate. Are there any forms of debate at this time? Seeing none, moving on to a vote for agenda item 18A, SR 93, a resolution to announce illegal actions taken by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oi. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that resolution is passed. Alrighty. Moving down our list to agenda item 18B, SB 93, an act to reform and add to the duties of the Senate parliamentarian. Parliamentarian Issa, go ahead.
Parliamentarian Issa, for the record. So this bill is a simple effort to take what has been working with the position of parliamentarian this session and make it consistent for future Senates. The role of parliamentarian is already intended to support the Senate body through a parliamentary procedure, drafting legislation, or helping to maintain general organization. But this bill just clarifies and formalizes those responsibilities into the duty of parliamentarians so that senators can reliably expect that support moving forward. And furthermore, this bill is meant to strengthen cohesion within Senate leadership by more clearly integrating the role of parliamentarian within the leadership structure, working closely with the Speaker and Speaker pro tempore and the secretaries. We can better ensure communication, clear division of responsibilities, and a more unified approach to how we run our meetings and manage the Senate. So with that, I stand open for questions.
Are there any questions at this time? Seeing none, moving on to a debate. Are there any forms of debate at this time? Already. Seeing none, moving on to a vote for agenda item 18B, SB 93, an act to reform and add to the duties of the Senate parliamentarian. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oi. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that bill has passed. Alrighty, moving on to agenda item 18C, SBR 93, binding resolution to reform and add to the duties of the Senate parliamentarian. Go ahead.
Parliamentarian Issa, for the record, this is the exact same piece, but it just takes what's in the SAS and puts it into the Senate rules. That's literally it.
Any demanding questions for the author at this time? Moving on to a debate. Are there any forms of debate at this time? Cool. Moving on to a vote for agenda item 18C, SBR 93, a binding resolution to reform and add to the duties of the Senate parliamentarian. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oi. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that binding resolution is passed. Alrighty. Moving on to agenda item 18D, SBR 93, a binding resolution to add a quote, motion for new information, end quote, in the Senate rules. Parliamentarian Issa, go ahead.
This piece is meant to correct a long-standing notion that I had that was actually wrong, which is that our Senate rules, or Robert's Rules of Order in general, has what's called a motion for new information, which basically means that a senator can motion to have the rest of the Senate body only speak on a point that has not been previously brought up. And it turns out that's actually not in Robert's Rules of Order, so I wanted to make that and codify it here. And the purpose as to why we would want a motion like that is because typically, I've noticed during our Senate meetings, when a point is being brought up over and over again, there's a tendency to make a motion a previous question instead of trying to do a motion for new information. And I think this allows us to be more flexible with how we, with who is and isn't allowed to speak. And also saves us time, of course, so we're not constantly repeating the same points. And so with that, I send it for questions.
Any questions at this time? Moving on to a debate. Are there any forms of debate at this time? Sarah Castro, thank you.
As in speech and debate capacities as senators, where we would regularly debate using the rules of Robert's Rules. I was amongst one of the individuals who informed and contributed to Senator Issa's misinformation regarding the new motion to new information. But now that we're sitting at the table, I'm actually going to advocate that we don't pass this piece. My reason for being is that I know from my speech and debate rounds there are numerous conversations to be had where you might end up on the bottom of a recency roster, or specifically the speaker's roll call, wherein your voice may be one of the last to be heard. We've already passed resolutions at this table regarding minority rights, where we sustain that minority rights, regardless of whether or not it's to be the same thing that anybody else has said, deserve the right to be heard, right? So my question is, when do we decide when something is new, and whose will decides whether or not it should be said? I think that this piece is something that goes to consideration of time, but at the same time, our Senate meetings should be long because we should be discussing things. And it goes on to say that someone's opinion who could be considered new information would they've been elected to serve and give that opinion.
Senator Bardwaj.
Senator Bardwaj, as a fellow speech debate kid, I'm inclined to agree with Senator Castro, offering like kind of a different perspective. I think that this kind of plays into the role of speaker. I think that like what Speaker Ackman has done a lot of this session is like ensuring that when debate is getting a little too repetitive, then like reminding senators like, hey, you know, we've been kind of like circling around the same points for a couple of minutes now. You know, like let's bring some new information. I think that that's the role of the speaker. I think this can do a lot of what Senator Castro was saying, where it's like, you know, how do we know if something is new information, or how do we know it's just, you know, worded differently than something everyone else has been saying. I don't think that there's a huge harm to passing this, but I think that like on balance, I would probably vote no, just to err on the side of, you know, silencing people that kind of want to make sure that everyone has heard their perspective. And I think the previous question or the speaker, like kind of preventing people from saying the same stuff can circumvent a lot of the problems that this piece looks to resolve.
Senator Benuto.
Senator Benuto, for the record, before those points were brought up, that's something that I had thought about. So I was more inclined to vote yes to the piece, but I think considering that I was appointed late and like being a new member at the table, I think even reiterating information that has already been stated or kind of adjusting it to share my perspective has been helpful for me just getting comfortable being able to speak at the table. So I think I'll also be voting for the piece.
Senator Bowlander.
Senator Bowlander, for the record. Senator Bardwaj passed the piece during the session. It was for minority rights. Why would that not be invoked whether or not there was a motion for new information?
Senator Bardwaj, go ahead.
Someone can still talk even when there was no information if they haven't talked, right?
Claiming the floor, the minority speech rights finding resolution, that's for points of or motions to previous question. So if the senator makes a motion to previous question, and it's not through unanimous consent, it's just division, and I haven't spoken yet, then that allows me to speak. This is different because this is like, you know, like when Speaker Ackman is like, all right, like guys, like, you know, like let's lock in, we're just repeating the same stuff. This, to my understanding, parliamentarians can correct me if I'm misunderstanding, but it's, if you're bringing up a motion for new information, then you're doing what Speaker Ackman is right now on a formalized level. And it's like, okay, like if you're gonna say the same stuff, then you're not allowed to speak. So the minority speech rights binding resolution is if there's a previous question and like I'm literally about to not be able to speak, then I can claim before. But this is like preventing repetitive arguments.
Pro Tem Issa, then Senator Calderon.
So I'm a little bit confused because it sounds to me like Senator Barbosch, you're saying that you think the way that things are operating right now with how Speaker Ackland manages our meetings is good. I would argue that this bill is just kind of codifying that sort of behavior because it says the Speaker of the Senate has a discretion to determine whether a senator's remarks constitute new information or not. Furthermore, I would like to address the other point that this might silence minority speech rights. If you'd like, I'd be open to changing section B5 to change it to a two-thirds majority rather than a simple majority if that would quell those concerns.
Yeah, I'm done.
Alrighty. Senator Calderon.
This piece is great. Good job, Jason. And honestly, as a Senate table, we go in circles a lot. I mean, I've been here for 4 months and I've seen sort of like some meetings get dragged on an hour on one piece that we could have been done in 20 if we had just talked about the information. And I don't really think it's silencing anybody. If you have the same opinion as others, I encourage you to team them during the meeting or get your opinion together under one person, rather together and have that person speak on your behalf. But I don't think it's silencing anybody.
Any new senators like to speak? Senator Dayton.
I think this piece has good intentions, but I think it just becomes dangerous really fast. I think it gives the speaker too much power to determine what is information and what's not. I also think it disregards the concept of ethos, because ethos does exist. So one senator saying something versus another senator saying something, given their history, background, or position in the association, can mean something different when it comes to persuasion. So I don't think any senator repeating the same thing can be useful. I also think that I like to assume that senators are only speaking when it's relevant. We're all intelligent. We all know what's productive for debate. No one's just trying to waste other people's time. So I think this piece goes assumes the worst of senators, and I think it's just as useful to assume the best.
Any other senators with points of conversation? Any senators with new information? Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, Parliamentarian Issa.
Oh, I was going to move the briefing last time.
Yeah, Parliamentarian Issa, go ahead.
Okay, I move to amend SBR 93 binding resolution to add a motion for new information to the Senate rules by modifying Addendum A by striking simple majority vote from Section B5, replacing a two-thirds majority vote through unanimous consent.
Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Bardwaz. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? But that being said, that amendment is passed. Parliamentarian Issa, go ahead.
I also wanted to address Senator Dayton's concern that it potentially might give the Speaker too much power to determine what is and isn't new information. Well, I would argue that's already how the Speaker operates. It's just not codified anywhere within our Senate rules. That's just how it's always been. So I don't think it gives any new powers to the Speaker. I actually do think this actually gives more power to the rest of all of you senators and takes away from the Speaker, because it's giving the Senate body the ability to actually make that determination whether or not there should be new information brought late to the table or not.
I also want to add context too, due to the fact that I was a senator in the 91st and the 92nd. But during those two sessions, it was customary, and I've kind of picked up on that, for the Speaker to kind of, move debate along and make sure we're not bringing up the same points and getting circled. That is the role of the Speaker. But there were times where senators would make a motion for new information, and we would vote on it, and we'd be like, okay, this point that we've been talking about for the past hour that everybody agrees on or disagrees on, we're not talking about that anymore. Based on the senator's motion for new information that I guess now could be considered not legal, since it wasn't an actual Robert's Rules motion, but I digress. Just wanted to add that context in there. Not saying I'm against it, not saying I'm for it, not saying it adds to the Speaker's power or my power. I'm just saying there is context based on past sessions, what people have used, and also what other speakers have done in the past. Any other points of information or debate? Senator Castro.
Perhaps I'm making a repetitive point, but regardless, I agree with Senator mention the fact that our dependency on new information and specifically relaying that decision to the speaker depends solely on their subjective opinion on whether or not something is relevant, rather than the legitimacy of the claim that something is not new. If you consider our debate circular at this table, I think it's more with all due respect, because it seems that during discussions that have run long, the differences between a yea or nay vote have been simply someone repeating a point made earlier in a different verbiage or language. Look back at the campaign finance bill. I'm sure some people had problems with the length of that conversation. Some would perhaps even call it whining. But regardless, that piece's decision was still contentious and made by a specific point made by a senator who had previously repeated that point. Ultimately, if you're not being engaged by the conversation, that's not a point of right or wrong for the Senate table. You've all been elected by constituents. Our constituents don't get to read our team's messages. So maybe you should make your opinions known on the public record where people who were actually elected to listen to you will listen. Thank you.
Any other senators with points of debate? Anyone else besides Saporito or Bardwaj? Senator Saporito, go ahead.
I would like to emphasize Senator Castro's point. I mean, I don't think in the 92nd session the whole table or the majority of the table would have agreed to the field house if not a million people came to public comment and voiced the exact same opinion. Same with the Borg movement. I don't think we would have passed a bill like the next exact session meeting if we didn't have more than one speaker. I understand Senator Caldron's point. You need an efficient speaker to efficiently persuade people. But you still need to get, it's okay to get some emphasis around. That's all I
want. Bardwaj and Senator Benuda.
Senator Bardwaj, I echo everyone who has been said. Probably most of the information at this point. But I think long debate is good debate. So I think I'm very sympathetic to this argument from Senator Calderon. Because it's nice to be home. But at the end of the day, we are pulling for student fees. We are being paid to do a job, and all students ask of us is, sit at a table and discuss what affects them for a couple hours. So I think some extra emphasis, like Senator Caporio said, isn't a bad thing. I think the two-thirds amendment, thank you. Amendment helps. So I'm kind of on the fence now, but. Maybe leaning a little bit on the side of no, just because, like everyone has said, I think it gives the speaker a lot more power. I get what Parliamentarian East is kind of getting at with like giving senators more power with the two-thirds majority, but if we as senators think we're being repetitive, let's get on with it, and we get the two-thirds majority passed, the speaker still has the ability to determine whether or not someone is just has the ability to silence someone, out of order, and even if we have good intentions as senators, and we're let's kind of be more efficient with it, we have more stuff on the agenda, then the speaker still has the ability to act independently of that and, go after certain people. And that's assuming the worst, but I think that's what we should do when we're evaluating something like this. So I don't know if you have any amendments, Parliamentarian Issa, that could possibly compensate for that. I don't know how appealing the speaker works, maybe that, but I'm probably leaning no at this point.
I'll let Parliamentary Issa respond, and then I'll go to Senator Benuto.
Oh, sorry. Parliamentary Issa, for the record, I think, honestly, I'd be open to tabling this piece indefinitely instead and just rewriting it to quell a lot of your concerns, because it seems like it's a lot. It'll take a lot more than just one single amendment, so if that's something the Senate body is open to, then I can make that motion.
All right. Before that, I'll let Rule of Order go first. Senator Benuto, do you have anything?
I just also wanted to say, we emphasized at the beginning of this meeting how productive this session has been. And since I've been here, there's been a lot of reiteration of the same points in terms of pieces, and so it has, it may take a little bit longer. But I think taking a look at how productive we've been with those repetitive arguments, I think goes to show that we're still able to.
Speaker Pro Tempore Masters, you yield?
I yield.
Okay. Senator Dayton, do you have anything else before I let Parliamentary Easton speak?
I just wanted to say I really appreciated Jason's response to my comment. I think he acknowledged everything I said well, and I want to give him a shout out for that.
Go ahead. Parliamentarian Issa, go ahead.
Parliamentarian Issa, for the record, I move to table SBR 93, binding resolution, add a motion for new information in the Senate rules indefinitely through unanimous consent.
Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Bardwaj, is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, agenda item 18 D has been tabled. Moving down our list to agenda item 18E, SB 93, a bill to amend the statute of the Associated Students to codify the annual College of Science lab coat drive. Would any of the authors like to give a brief synopsis of the bill? Senator Bardwaj, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'll hand it off. You guys know in the College of Science, lower lab coats. This bill is building on the drive we implemented in the fall spring class semester. The bill talks a lot about it. We selected and gave out lab coats to students in College of Science lab coats. We started pretty small because it's our first time doing it. I think we had like 20 lab coats donated, which isn't a lot. But we scored them in the Senate office over a break and kind of lost over half of them. That put us in a tough spot and probably something that senators can improve on. But Senator Evans went to the DMSC and started going lab by lab, handing out coats in the stock room. Was actually like, look, you have like hella lab coats. So between that and what we had, I think we ended up distributing around 50 to 60 coats to students. And I want to give Senator Evans and Senator DeBarger their flowers here. I think Senator DeBarger especially, she popped off on the marketing side of things, like making sure our flyers and concept was actually out there, so people knew this existed. I know like the public comment was, you know, going crazy on me and Evans, but I think DeBarger did 90% of the work behind the scenes. There is zero chance we have any lab coats to give out if she did not do the work she did. My biggest contribution was just putting the idea of a drive like this on the second slide of my point of presentation. So I want to be clear about where the credit goes. All in all, this bill is just creating a new section of the SAS for College Center initiatives, and then immediately adds a chapter for the College of Science lab coat drive itself. So if you're not, even if you're not in the College of Science, you can, if you want like your initiative that you started for your college to be like an ASUN initiative, quote unquote, then you can kind of put it under that title in the SAS, and that just kind of makes it more official, I guess, or like puts ASUN on top of that. So if you want more people to recognize it or go to that event that you're going to run, you know, recurrently, then you can put that in the SAS. But yeah, Senator Evans can probably go more into like why you made this in the first place.
Senator Barger and Senator Evans, you guys can go ahead.
Senator Evans, for the record. Hi everyone. Hi Adela. Yeah, just to add a little bit, I kind of want to explain where this is going to go forward. Obviously, I am going to be an incumbent senator. I'll be coming back for next session. And you know, this is our first go around. I think we did pretty good for the first go around. It's a big mission of mine. Just continue working on this. I already have more ideas on how to make this better. I will be emailing every single STEM professor at the university a picture of a flyer whenever we get it. Thinking about changing some locations, and really the main thing is I want to make sure that this will continue whenever, like 10 years from now, I won't be in ASUN anymore. I want to make sure that we can still do this. So I'll be posting all information about it in the box as well. But yeah, that's about it. You want to say anything? Yeah, that's about it. You guys have any questions? I know
that's good. Any questions for Senator Evans, DeBarger, or Bardwaj? Moving on to a debate. Does anybody have any dissenting opinions on the bill? I didn't think so. Does anybody have any new forms of debate, comments, concerns? Senator Barris.
I just want to give all three of you big props. This is a super cool initiative. I'm a STEM student myself, and I know a lot of students in the School of Public Health, especially pre-nursing, with the anatomy labs, microbiome labs. It's really important that they have those lab coats, and I really appreciate you guys working on this. And it goes to show how dedicated you guys are to your work. So big props to you.
Any other points of conversation? Already, I have one thing I want to add. I said at the start, but thank you guys for doing this. I really appreciate it. It really shows the commitment and the length that it means to be a senator. It shows that this role really can do good for students. It really can affect a lot of students, whether it's, you know, one student, it's 10 students, or 100 students. It's still our job to represent our college and to ensure that main concerns that are brought up from constituents are met. So I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your guys' busy schedule and being science majors. Props to you guys for that. I really appreciate it, and I know this is definitely in the 93rd. I think this is probably the most outward-facing outreach that we've done in order to giving back to students. So really, just props to you guys. Alrighty, I'm guessing no more forms of debate. Cool. Moving on to a vote for agenda item 18E, SB 93, a bill to amend the statute of the Associated Students to codify the annual College of Science lab coat drive. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Oi. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that bill is passed. Alrighty. Last but not least, moving on to agenda item 18F, SPR 93, binding resolution codifying the liaison positions of the Special Committee on Food Insecurity. Senator Saporito, go ahead.
Senator Saporito, for the record, this piece, it's literally just the title. There's another piece coming out that hopefully extends the Special Committee into the 94th session. And with that, I wanted to make sure if it gets extended to the 94th, that it would be on a good footing regarding all the liaison positions that are currently reaching out to in the 93rd. So, yeah, that's the bill. Thanks.
Any questions for the author at this time? Moving on to a debate. Are there any forms of debate at this time? Seeing none, we're moving on to a vote for agenda item 18F, SBR 93, binding resolution codifying the liaison positions of the Special Committee on Food Insecurity. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Oi. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that binding resolution is passed. Alrighty, we made it through. Moving on to agenda item 19A, Senate Committee Changes and Additions. Are there any Senate Committee Changes and Additions at this time? Seeing none, moving on to agenda item 19B, Senate Reports. Are there any Senate Reports at this time? I have Barris, Radke, any others? Dayton, Saporito, Evans, anyone else? Senator Bolander, anyone else? All right, Senator Barris, go ahead.
Alrighty, Senator Barris for the record. Hi all, I hope you guys are all doing well and enjoying the nice weather we've been having. I kind of have a longer report because I didn't get one last week, so I'm sorry. Anyways, today I had a meeting with Amy Hocus, Dr. Heather Sweet, Dean Kennedy, President Ogilvie, and Claire, and myself about the Emergency Contraceptive Vending Machine Initiative. We talked a lot about concerns that the university administration can have regarding having something like this on our campus. I'm working on some action items like meeting with more university stakeholders, trying to loop in more students about the survey, and continue to have conversations about it to keep it alive, hopefully in the 94th. Lately, I've been working with Director Dietrich regarding reinstating the ASU Menstrual Hygiene Fund. This bill puts $3,500 into the budget for FY27 to ensure students on campus continue to have access to menstrual products. This initiative would be under the Department of Campus Wellness, and I added this to their duties within the SAS. I hope to see this for first reading in the next couple weeks. I've also been working on a piece, SR93, a resolution in support of National Youth HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. National Youth HIV/AIDS Awareness Day is a nationwide observance that calls on people to take action to invest in the health, education, and leadership of young people. More than 40 years into the epidemic, the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention estimates that in the United States, more than 1.2 million people are living with HIV, and 31,800 people were diagnosed with HIV in the United States in 2022. In 2022, youth aged 13 to 14 years are composed of 20% of all new HIV diagnoses in the United States. It's important to have awareness about diseases such as HIV and continue to advocate for those who have been affected. In the last couple weeks, I've had two events. I did sexual health pep talks in the grad student lounge. Due to low attendance, I decided to pivot and turn this into a tabling event instead. I talked to a handful of students about sexual/reproductive health and the importance of being safe and making smart decisions when deciding to take part. I also emailed Dr. Garn and Mel Flores, the Associate Dean of Public Health and Director of HealthFit, to discuss having a sexual health canvas option for fall 2026. A self-enrolled canvas course students can enroll in at any time, or a lesson at HealthFit, similar to what we do for Stop the Bleed, Narcan training, EpiPen training, etc. I'm kind of waiting to see if we have a meeting to discuss this, but so far they seem for it. If you guys have any questions about the stuff I'm working on, let me know.
Great, thank you. Senator Saporito, go ahead.
Hey everyone, this Monday I met with a lot of people. Michael Flores, Austin Daly, Amy Cocos, and Tony Ortega. We were discussing ways we can further execute our current initiative on bringing assembly members and state senators to campus to direct be meeting with Amy Gokis and Tony Ortega over spring break to submit exactly what we want to prioritize for these politicians, what information we want to show them, as well as plan what exactly we want to what exactly we want to advocate for in the future on methods to expand PAC provisions. But if you guys want to join that meeting over spring break, if you have the time, let me know. It should be good.
Thank you. Sarah Radke, go ahead. Senator Dayton.
Hi everyone, this Friday at 11 a.m. I'm meeting with Chief James and DPC and DPC, Senators Castor and Barris, to discuss police presence at a recent Senate meeting and how we can establish a stronger relationship between campus police and the ASU Senate moving forward. Please let me, Senator Castor, Senator Barris, know if you have any questions or concerns that you guys have brought up at that meeting. Also this morning I had the opportunity to meet with the university's ADA committee as part of my liaison position to the DRC. I would like committee membership to be a formalized part of that liaison position and collaborate with Senator at the community meeting, they requested that ASU lead an accessibility walk for students, and I hope to collaborate with future senators on that project, which is something I'll leave in the legacy box and talk further with Senator Castro and Harris about. I also wanted two main projects happening right now for ABA. One regarding updated signage for NSRA, FISHMDG, LMR, Orbis, and Scrub Engineering, all of which will be done by the summer. The other project involves adding more ABA accessible doors for Benjamin, Raggio, FGS, and a new sliding automatic door for those first four West AC doors. Construction for the updated doors will begin in November 20. I was so impressed by the thoughtful insight community members had on these projects and the attention to detail the facilities had in all of our teams. We have some incredible staff working to make our campus a more accessible place, and I'm so grateful for them and hope their work can continue to be recognized by this body in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir Bolander, go ahead.
Senator Bolander, for the record, I first off want to say a huge congratulations to everybody who ran and got a position on the Senate table. I'm very proud of you guys. I also want to express how proud of our ACO president I am. Two or three of my brothers ran and got a position at this table, with the other third hopefully applying for senior day and exec position. But or in an exec cabinet position. Pertaining to the woman we had come talk in front at the beginning of the meeting, she's member of the campus safety initiative. If you would all really take into consideration handing out some signature papers or tabling on campus.
Thank you. Did anybody else have a report? Senator Evans, that's right.
Senator Evans, for the record. Hey, everybody. Thank you for passing the lab code piece. That was pretty nice of you guys. Again, a huge shout out to DeBarger, Benuto, Bardwaj, but also huge thanks to EHS, the DMSC staff, College of Science deans, the different apartments and dorms that allowed for us to put bins in. And also a huge shout out to ex-Senator Camille Levy. She really helped in the beginning before she left, and it means a lot to us with that project. For the rest of my report, part of this will be about lab coats again, so you guys are going to hear this for the rest of the time, I think. I've been working with Director Mendoza and AD Espino Pineda, making flyers again. Like I said before, I'm going to email hundreds of professors and faculty members about just the flyer for the initiative, ask if they want to give a little talk about it first 45 seconds of class. Also, I'll be planning on going to upper level chem classes and engineering classes in any class that might have lab coats if they only have one semester or something. And I'll be trying to get paid for it. And then also, as the only College of Science incumbent for the 94th, I will do everything in my power to teach the ways of the lab coat drive to the other senators. And in non-lab code news, currently I'm planning on working with Chair Castro on the potential for the ballet for his
Heritage Month. More to come soon. I don't want to say too much, but I'm extremely excited for this potential project. And if you guys are interested, I would love to talk to you guys about it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other Senate reports at this time? Senator DeBarger, go ahead.
Hey guys, so thank you so much for passing our piece. There's like some weird confusion about who did what in the lab coat drive, and I don't like to toot my own horn, but I'm going to. And I'm going to tell you what I did. So I sent all the emails to the various locations, and I attended meetings on Zoom and in person with the various stakeholders. Res Hall staff, Joe's staff, EMSC staff, I managed the inkblot requests, which entailed approvals and denials of design, sending what information needed to get on flyers, printing the posters, and media, including social media posts, and getting posts on the TVs, as well as communication and news with Director Mendoza. I picked up the flyers when they were done, posted them around campus on public reading boards, picked up the Amazon order for the supplies, unpackaged them, and set them all up. With the help of Senator McAndrews, placed all the boxes, I think there were 8 or 10 maybe, at the locations around campus, as well as student housing off campus, spoke with the workers at each location to organize maintenance and pick up other boxes, and I checked the boxes after 3 days to make sure they were not overflowing. And I also provided backup and amendment ideas to the piece we saw today. That's it.
Any other Senate reports? Alrighty. You guys are safe from my wheel of names. I will let you guys go early. All right, moving down to agenda item 20, comments, announcements. Any comments, announcements at this time? All right, I have one. I hope you guys all have a really good spring break. I know I'm going to have a great time. I will be in LA, then I will be in Zion. So if you guys are sending me an email, I don't respond immediately. Apologies, I usually respond pretty quickly, but I will get to your email as soon as I can, or if I have cell service, just want to give you guys an update on that. But if you guys have a question about something or concerned about something, or you want to send me a piece or want me to look it over, hop on a call for 5 minutes, please just send me a text, email, Teams message, DM. There are millions of ways to communicate with me. And then I also wanted to kind of put it out there on record. After this meeting, we have 2 meetings left. So we're almost done, guys. We've done a lot of great work. Specifically, we've talked about it like 20 times this meeting, but the lab coat drive, excellent. I'm very glad that 93rd was able to be a part of that and be able to sponsor that. So very, very proud of you guys, and very, very proud of this table for being able to do that. Let's see, anything else? Sign up for ASUN Banquet. It's on the 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. Please, please, please sign up. If you do not have the link, I can forward it to you. I can put it in our chat, whatever it may be. I know Director Texan read up those names at the beginning, so if you are one of those names that was read out, please, please, please fill out the RSVP form. Let's see. Yeah, we're coming to a close. Yeah, I hope you guys all have a good spring break. Stay safe. Wear sunscreen. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Senator Broadwatch.
Sorry to keep you guys here a little longer. I don't have a report, but I feel like this is probably more better to be in comments and announcements. I third the thanks for passing the piece. Although Senator Evans was the only incumbent for Department of Science reelected, I'm still going to do my best to help out with Labco Drive. I'll be a ghost senator, if you will, and I'll do my best to teach the ways of the College of Science Labco Drive. Go out and help Senator Evans.
Lovely. Also, real quick too, just so I don't got to say anything at the end, please get your plaques or whatever, please put them in the bin. I really appreciate it. Any other comments, announcements at this time? Senator Dayton.
This past week, the UNR Women's Old Techers Beach team had a tournament in Oregon. They got second place. This is our second tournament in a row.
Lovely. Congratulations, by the way. Any other comments and announcements? All right, moving on to agenda item 21, public comment. Any public comment at this time? All right. Hold on, guys. Don't pack up yet. Don't pack up. Moving on to agenda item 22, adjournment. I adjourn the 93rd Senate session of the Associated Students here, March 18, 2026, at 7:39 p.m., convening both in the reading line at Senate Chambers and via Zoom. Have a good spring break, everybody. Stay safe. Take lots of pictures. Wear sunscreen. All that. Goodbye.